Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Dalla's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
It is very true that we are overwhelmed with things that is happening around the world, and we do not know where to start to help. Where do we start to make a difference? But I believe that, first of all, we need to educate it by the Word of God. We need to have it in our heart first before we can even do anything. I believe that simple people can do great things because they have great God with them. And if we pray and we really want to make a difference, I believe that God will open the door for us. God will open the door. He will open the way. He will show us what to do. And every single thing and every little thing that He opened the door for us, we just step in and do it first. Do not wait to do great and big things, a dream things. But if God put in your heart something, some little thing, obey and do it. Do that first. He said that if you are faithful, He will give you more. If you are faithful in little thing, He will give you more responsibility. I preached this message before, long time ago, but I have deeper conviction, deeper today than before. Why don't we start in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, O God, that your word is truth and your word is the lamp to our path. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us your Bible, your word, so that we know how to walk this life. Father, we thank you that you never condemn us, but you convict us in our heart. The enemy come and condemn us that we haven't done this and that. We are not good enough for this and that. But you are the good God. You come to convict our hearts. You come and you tell us the truth in love. You come and you convict our heart and encourage us to do the right thing. We thank you so much, O God. I pray that all of my brothers and sisters, including myself, our hearts will expand today. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you will convict us. You will help us, Lord, to go to another dimension of faith. We'll go to another level of faith. Dear Lord, you have created us for such a time like this, not only for us to just have a good time and have all the privileges, Lord, but you have created us, Lord, for a purpose to help the mankind, to help other people who are less fortunate than us. We thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for all the things that you have given to us, Lord. But Father, we know deep in our hearts, Lord, that you have given us not just for us, but for other people too. Help us, Lord, to obey you. Help us, Lord, to respond to your word. Father, I pray, dear God, today that conviction will not only be a temporary one, but will infuse into our spirit and bear fruit, Lord, and bear fruit and bear good fruit, Lord, so that it will be pleasing to you. Thank you, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that this message must be important, because last night I did not sleep at all. I try and try to sleep. I toss and turn. I read my Bible. I pray. I woke my husband up many times. At 4 o'clock, I went downstairs to drink my warm milk, hoping that I would be sleeping. But I could not sleep for some reason. I must be excited about preaching today. Not only that, in the morning while I was preparing to come, a bee stung me too. Says, God, the enemy must be mad at me for preaching this message. Dear brother and sister, I don't think that most of us realize how passionate God cares for the unfortunate. Including myself, I know that I feel sorry for people, but I don't really realize how much God have that compassion and for the poor, the oppressed, the unfortunate. And I checked with Pastor Lau already before I say this. Our faith will never complete or even real if we neglect the orphan, the widow, and the poor. In James 1:27, God said that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widow in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In Psalm 68, verse 5, this is the heart of the Father. This is the heart of God. And he talked about this a lot and a lot. In fact, what I am going to preach today is only part of it. It's just like one-fifth of what I have in my book. He said that a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. This is the nature of God. He is the father of the fatherless. And he defends the widow. He defends those who are oppressed. Psalm 103, verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Psalm 140, verse 12, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. You see that the heart of God is for the fatherless. There's so many fatherless nowadays. A lot of widows, a lot of people who are oppressed. In fact, the people who have the privilege are very, very small percentage of the world. Very, very small percentage. I think all of you are in the top 5% of the world. So many people are sold into slavery. God really, really cares for them. He said, I am the father of the fatherless. If they don't have the father, he will be the father for them. And he will come and he will help and he will defend them. God has spoken to every generation very, very consistent in this issue. I will give you 4 times, 4 eras. The first one is the time before the law of Moses, which is the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and earlier than that. That is the first time. There is one book that is so amazing. That is the book of Job. I was never interested in reading the book of Job, except the end part that say Job was blessed with double portion, with everything. I'd like to read that one. Because though I was thinking that, you know what, in the middle of the book of Job, it's talking about the argument between Job and the three friends. And I tried to read and really never really understood. But right now, I really love to read the book of Job because the book of Job really gives a lot of insight and it's talking about the righteousness of God that God requires of all of us. It is a very fascinating, stimulating, and challenging book. How about we look into Job 29:11-13? When the ear heard it, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw, then it approved me. Because I deliver the poor who cry out, the fatherless and the one who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Job was considered the most righteous man of his time, at that time. And Job was so righteous that even God challenged Satan to prove his righteousness. God said that, yes, you can go and prove my servant. See, he is righteous and he will always love me. Even Job, who was the most righteous man of the time, he said that, I deliver the poor when they cry out. I help the fatherless. He know that God require of him to be righteous in this area, that he need to help the poor. He need to help the fatherless. He need to help the widow. And the word said that when the ear heard, then it blessed me. It means that when anyone hear about him, they will bless him. Do you want to be in that position that whenever people hear of your name, they bless you, they say that, thank you so much. I remember that he helped me. Thank you so much. He makes me smile. He makes my heart sing. Or you want people to curse when they hear your name, that, you know what, I don't want to hear his name. He always cheat me. He always do this and that to me. He always abuse me. He never helped me anything. But the book of Job said that when the ear heard, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw, then it approved me. Have you done anything for a widow that it caused her heart to sing? Have you done anything to anyone to cause their heart to be joyful? In Job 31:16-23, if I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eat my morsel by myself, means you keep everything for yourself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it. But from my youth I rear him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guide the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warm with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket. For destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. The word of God even said that my arms should not belong where it is, should not belong here on my socket, if I did not do all these things, if I did not help the poor when they need help, if I caused the eye of widow to fail, if I have and then I keep everything for myself, and never really want to bless or really want to share with anyone. And if I don't really care about the fatherless, the people who don't have parents, or the poor, or the people who are in distress, if I never have care for them. In fact, the Bible says that in the book of Job that, and let my arm fall from my shoulder. It's strong word. It's very, very strong word. But you see how God put the strong word there, because he really, really care for those people. I really think that he's afraid that that's why he put a lot of Bible verse in there, to make sure that someone will be convicted to do something about it. And Job said that if he did not do all these things, these are sinful. These are sinful things if you did not do it. So that is, you know, even before the time of Moses, God have put it there. And in that time, because Jesus haven't come yet, so that is considered the righteousness for that time. The second time is in the law of Moses. In Leviticus 19:9-10. I really love this passage. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. He said that you are to leave certain amount of harvest. Why? Because you must leave for the poor and the aliens, or the poor or the stranger or the aliens. He said, I am the Lord your God. What he means is that this is the kind of God I am, and this is how I want you to represent me. If you want to represent God in a balanced way, in the right way, you need to care for the fatherless, the widow, the poor. I'm guilty of this one too. And I know that the Holy Spirit do not come to condemn us, but he wants to convict us. He wants us to know what we need to do and what we should do while we're living here, while we live our life on earth here. You might think that I have worked so hard for this money. I sweat. I work day and night for this money. It belongs to me. It's all belong to me. I don't want to share because, you know, those people don't work hard at all. They don't want to, they didn't want to go to school. They didn't want to do anything. They just ask for problem. They just get themselves into trouble. You know, this kind of thought come to our mind. But God said that. So you don't want to help or what? You know, so God said, really? So God said that, but I still require mercy from you for them anyway. One time we were driving on the street, and then Joy was with me. And normally we will give something to the people, and we don't want to think that they're going to go and smoke cigarette and they will buy this and that, because we always think that, but if today they haven't eat anything, but if today they don't have anything to eat, so we tend to give anyway. And then one time I was saying that, but Joy, I think mommy think that, you know, these people should go to work. It's true. And then Joy said that, mommy, how can they work? They are not have all together to go and apply for a job. And she even said that, mama, think about it, you know, they don't know where to take a shower, and they don't have a new set of clothes to wear even before going to apply for a job. I think it's very true. And I wasn't think, and I did not think about that, that they don't know where to take a shower, they don't know how to get another set of clothes, or they don't know how to look right to apply for a job. And there was one brother share with me before that he was on the street before. He said that, you know, because of these people who kept him alive, because of these people who gave him something to eat and gave him something to wear and gave him something to spend, and those people kept him alive until one day God delivered him, and God really blessed his life nowadays. You know, so don't think that the little that you help, the little, you know, finance or help that you have given to the people, it doesn't make any difference. I believe that it makes the difference in the life of people. Amen. So another one, Deuteronomy 14, 28 to 29. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. This one too, I already checked with our pastor. If I'm not sure, I have to check with the pastor so that I will present the right message. Dan, dan, dan. This is not Thai. This is beyond tithing. God said that at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce. So our pastor said that each year you save 1/3 of the second tithe, 1/3 of the money. And for the third year, you will give that money to the Levites. I want to explain the Levites. The Levites were the tribe, you know, the Levites was one of the tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this tribe, they did not have the inheritance. The Lord did not give them the land. For the 11 tribes, the Lord gave them the land. But this tribe, they were going to serve the Lord. So he did not give them anything. And he said that I will be their portion. So in other words, they did not have any inheritance because their inheritance was the offering of God's people. So apply to the people today, they are like full-time pastors, full-time church workers, missionaries, evangelists of our society today. Those are the people who are Levites that we need to be concerned about them, that we need to care for them. But I really believe that if you obey the Lord and His word, which is unfailing words, which is eternal word, He said that if you can do that, He will bless you for sure. I totally believe Him. I believe that He will bless, and He can bless, and He will do it. I'm so confident of that. On the way to our vacation, last week, I was reading with my son. It is the children's book, but it was so good. It's called The Rich Fool. The Rich Fool, you know, the rich but fool. He store everything. He make a storage to put the grain in. And then when it's full, he built another one. And he built another one. And he built another one. And it's so full. And when the bird came, he drove them away. And when the grain fall, and then the slave tried to get it, he didn't want to give to them. He just grabbed everything. But, and he said that, you know, he said in his heart that, I'm going to make another plan. Tomorrow I'm going to build another, the biggest one. But unfortunately, that night he went to bed and he never woke up. And I was thinking, you know, that grain, yes, there's a lot of grain in those barns. But as time go by, nothing really matter. Nothing, you know, left. Even the richest people, even the people who have so much, cannot keep their money. When they die, they're gone. And also, in fact, the things that you have today is for today's use. At one time, if you have $100, you were so rich. About maybe like 50 years ago, if you had $100, you were so rich and you had so much. Now today, you have $500,000. You can't even buy a nice house. Is it true? Now today, if you have a $1 million, you cannot even get the house close to the water. It's very true. But before, if you have $100,000, you know what? You had a property right on Lake Washington. So the money is for use for today. My clothes that I'm wearing now, 20 years from now, it's rag. It's gone. Everything that I have today is for today. And I really come to realize that today. Today too, when God ping into my head. So, my brother and sister, whatever you have is for today. Believe me. Do not keep it for another 20 years. It will not, in 20 years, probably 10 million may not be able to get to the waterfront. But today, if you have your money, if you have your resources, if you have your clothes, if you have your food, it's for today. It's for the people today. God have created us for such a time like this, for now and for today. You have the strength for today. You have your years and you have your time for today. Another 100 years, you'll be with God if you obey Him. If you respond to the word of God. Okay? I really speak from the conviction that God have given to me. If you have too much today, what, for another 10 years, everything will be moldy. If you keep the cereal for just, what, a year, it's what, stale. It's no good anymore. Everything has its timing. In 20 years, I may not be able to, I don't want in 20, maybe 30. In 30 years, I may not be able to walk as strong as today. Right? I need to use all my strength today for the Lord. I need to use all my voice that I have. In 30 years, maybe my voice will not be like this. Maybe a little bit different. But please realize that everything is for the use of today, not for tomorrow. Because tomorrow never come. What does it say in Spanish? Mañana. Yeah. Tomorrow never come. I'll give to God tomorrow. Oh, in fact, in that book that I read for my son, The Fool Rich Man, also say that I'll serve the Lord someday. Wait for me. I'll get ready. I'll settle down. And then I'll serve the Lord. But what? Mañana. Tomorrow never come. You need to make a decision to give today and use everything today. Amen. Now, the third time, the time of prophet. You see that God is very persistent. Now the time of prophet. If you read the writing of the prophets from the book of Isaiah onward, you will come to a certain conclusion that there are three kinds of sins that provoke God's anger. Number one, idolatry. Idolatry means worshipping idol, including worship our money. Number two, adultery. It means that people are unfaithful to their spouse. That is adultery. And the third one is being indifferent to the poor. So idolatry, adultery, and being indifferent to the poor. What does it mean, indifference to the poor? It means like this, that I understand. Look down on the poor. You're poor, I'm rich. Feel uncomfortable around the poor. I don't want to have anything to do with them. They are another class. Isaiah 1:15-17 say that, when you spread out your hands, mean when you pray, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuild the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. The book of Isaiah says that who is in the first of God's list? The fatherless, the widow, the poor, and the oppressed. These are the people that are in God's heart all the time. They are in God's heart all the time. God really keeps talking about them because God wants to make sure that they are taken care of. God wants to make sure that someone will have the heart for them and will help them somehow. This sin is equal to idolatry and adultery, basically. If we don't concern at all for the poor, if we don't concern for the fatherless and for the widow, this sin is equal to idolatry and adultery. So it is serious in God's sight. You know, those are in the Old Testament, the time before the law of Moses. The law of Moses' time and the time of prophet. Now we are coming to the New Testament time. In Luke 3:3-14, I am going to read from verse 7. This is talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist came, and the message of John the Baptist is repent. You know, he baptized people in the river of Jordan, and the message is repent. Then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance And do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. It means we have faith. So we have faith. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? So the people are convicted because John the Baptist said that the axe is at the root of the tree. It's ready to cut down. You need to bear fruit. If you do not bear fruit, you will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked, they were startled and they asked, so what shall we do? So they asked him, saying, what shall we do? And the first thing he said before anything else, he answered and said, he who has two tunics, mean two jackets, let him give to him who has none. This is the first thing he said. Those who have two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collector also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. So do not take advantage of others. Likewise, the soldier asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. The top of the list, when people ask John the Baptist, what shall we do to repent? He said, first thing, if you have two jackets, give one to the one who don't. And if you have food, let him do likewise. So that is the top of God's concern. So that is what John the Baptist said, that to really repent, that is what we need to do, to care for others, to care for the poor and the oppressed. One thing that we need to repent is from keeping everything for ourselves, but sharing it with those who are in need. Jesus said that you will always have the poor with you. I believe that God purposely put the poor around you to test your heart, and also to expand your heart and my heart too. To expand, to be able to give. Because if we don't give, if we don't share, if we don't help, and if we don't give to other people who don't have, you know what happened? Our heart gonna be cold. And our heart will be very tight. And we will be very selfish. But God, in His grace, He doesn't want us to be in the state of being so selfish. That's why He put people all around us. He hoped that we will see them. He hoped that, oh, okay, I can see them. I want to help them. So please look around. Please look around, because there are some people who need you all around you. Amen. You can speak in tongue and be very selfish. You can be on fire and be very self-centered. So because the anointing cannot replace the character. But one of the character of God that God wants us to have is that we need to expand our heart. We need to be generous to those who need us all around us. And the last Bible verse, which my daughter already read, but anyway, I'll read it again. Matthew 25:31-45. It's good to read two times. I noticed one thing. When I read something, and when I read it again, it registers to my brain. And I hope that it will register to your brain today. Not to your brain, to your spirit. Today. Amen. Matthew 25:31-45. When the Son of Man come in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. This is the judgment day. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separate the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, and you invite me in. I need clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you look after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. You see how persistent God was with his word? And this is the word of God. It is not my word. I know that it is very, very strong. But I'm so thankful to God that he revealed his word. He revealed his word, what we need to do. I don't want to go to him on the last day and he would ask me, what have you done with the time I have given you on earth? What have you done with all the resources and money and everything that you have? What have you done with it? And I had no answer to him. And not only that, he will also put me on the left hand too. And I don't want to be on the left hand, I want to be on the right hand. Amen. How about you? Amen. Left or right?
Right?
Amen. It is your decision and it is my decision how we are going to respond to the word of God. After you heard this message, you can have many choices. You can go ahead and do something. You can just relax and do nothing. And you can even resent God. God, I work so hard. I sweat. I woke up so early. And I came home late at night. And you want me to share with all these people who don't do anything? They're not worth to receive it? It's our decision. It's our decision what we want to do. It is good to be in the church, to be blessed. It is good to speak in tongues. It is good to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is good to be an intercessor, to be a prayer warrior, but it is not good enough. Because he said in James 1:27 that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I believe that if you want to do something, if you are convicted in your heart, if you see that the word of God is true, and we cannot go around and avoid. Believe me, you cannot go around. You know, oh, but I'm an intercessor and God, but I am the pastor and I speak in tongues. Oh God, I'm on fire. You cannot go around. Because he said that the true religion is to look after the orphan and widow and the people who are in need. If you pray hard enough, I believe that he will open the door for you. I thank you so much, you know, for Dorothy. One lady that is simple, came to the church, need a lot of prayer, need a lot of deliverance, you know, at that time, a few years ago. But because of the heart of compassion, she starts something, and now it grows. She said something, and now lots of people got help. And all of us can do something too, because the Lord will open the door for all of you. Maybe in a different way, but he surely will. I want to give one example of my teacher who teach my son, Paul, tutor my son. She is a substitute teacher from Paul's school, and then I hire her to come and teach my son. She's just a simple lady. Her name is Christy. And one day, she knows someone in Africa who want to become a doctor and is in the medical field. Just both of them say that we want to have a clinic in Kenya. It costs about $500 to build that clinic. So that clinic separate into two parts. One part is giving some medicine, and the other part is selling all the things that people donate for them so that they can be self-sustained. And right now, the ministry grows so much that right now, they have the widows or the people whose husband died in the war got together, and they raise chickens, and they plant many kind of fruit or vegetable and sell in the market. And 9 orphans are fed every day from this ministry. So just one lady, she's a substitute teacher. She doesn't have a lot of money at all. Teacher don't get a lot of income. And substitute teacher even get less. But she could do something. And I asked her, how much is the clinic that you built? She said $500. And she flew over there. And she kind of supervised. And from there, a lot of people came from all over the world and helped her. And so now she doesn't have to go all the time, but she has people there who help. I just want to encourage all of us that if we have the heart and if we want to do something, the Lord will give us the open door. The Lord will give us the chance, the opportunity to make an impact for so many people. Don't leave our life to the end. Get up, work, eat, sleep, go to church, give up. Get up, work, sleep, go to church, do nothing. Do nothing about our resources and talents and giftings that we have. So really want to encourage all of us. And you know what? I am not speaking to you only. I'm speaking to myself. I am praying for the open doors, for God to use me too, for God to use me and help me with all that I have to impact other people, to help them, to make them sing for joy, to make their faces glad, to make them so happy about it. So I pray that this message will infuse into your spirit, and it shall not be only April 15 and forget within 2 weeks and do not bear any fruit. My dear brother and sister, believe me, you are in the 5% of the population of the world in terms of wealth and in terms of what you have. So use it to the full. You will be so joyful. You will be so happy. You will be so glad to see someone deliver from poverty. You see someone be glad because all the things that you have is for today. It's not for another 10 or 20 years. Don't worry. The Lord will also take care of our descendants. He will also take care of our sons and daughters. They don't need our heritage that much. I mean, they need it, but they don't really want it. I mean, they want it, they don't really need it. If we raise them properly. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, God, that you are the father of the fatherless. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are the father of the widow and the oppressed and the poor. And they are the top of your list. We thank you so much, Lord, that you reveal your will today, that you reveal your heart today, dear God. I pray, dear Father, that you will please help my brother and sister, dear God, today to really, Father, grasp the whole of your word. And Father, I pray, dear God, that every single one of us, Father, will make a difference in the world, that we will leave the legacy, Father, in this world, that we are able, Lord, to be a part of helping other people, Lord, to come out of poverty, to come out of sickness, to come out of the distress that they are in, from the loneliness that they are in. Heavenly Father, help all of us, Lord, because you said in your word, dear God, that this is the kind of God I am. And this is how you want us to represent you, and we want to represent you right. Thank you so much, O God. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Perfect.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.